Time now for our regular check-in with Peter Dykstra, the publisher of Environmental Health News, that's EHN.org, and DailyClimate.org. He's on the line from Conyers, Georgia. Hi, Peter. Tell me, what's lurking beyond the headlines today?
Well, hi, Steve. Let's say you're a major industrialized nation and you just want to make a bold statement to the entire world that you're totally flipping off climate change. What better way than to approve what could be the world's largest coal mine?
And what nation are we talking about?
Australia. This is on the heels of their abandoning a national carbon tax. The feds there just signed off on the Carmichael coal mine and rail project in Queensland, the state in the northeast part of the country. 60 million tons of coal a year from just this one mine, and they've got maybe eight other projects backed up behind it, mostly or almost entirely for export to coal-hungry nations like India. The government sees it as a huge jobs project, but many others see it as a disaster on multiple levels. It's your classic environmental conflict.
So obviously, 60 million tons of coal a year leaves a bit of a footprint, but I gather there are other objections to this project.
Yeah, one report says that mining in Queensland with this project in the lead will add as much carbon to the atmosphere as Australia's climate plan claims it hopes to reduce. It's a partly open-pit mine. It'll chew up immense amounts of land and groundwater. Exporting the coal means building a railroad to a coal terminal and then to shipping lanes, and that means dredging and dumping near the already imperiled Great Barrier Reef. It's kind of a negative environmental grand slam down under. But I'll tell you what, let's move on to a story that can unite me all here in Georgia with you all up in Massachusetts.
Well, it's 150 years past the Civil War, so it's about time, right?
Yeah. One of the things, Steve, that we have plenty of here in the South, and you're beginning to see more in the North, is kudzu, that fast-growing vine you see along roadsides and at the edges of forests everywhere around here. Kudzu likes hot weather, we all know that. But as things warm up, kudzu is advancing north like the avenging ghost of Stonewall Jackson.
So how far north has kudzu made it, and how much farther do scientists think it can spread, Peter?
It's actually jumped the border. There's an acre-large patch having jumped from Ohio across Lake Erie to Leamington, Ontario. It's been reported in Nova Scotia as well. It's been found in all five boroughs of New York City. But get this, kudzu survives in areas of Korea where winter temperatures can reach well below zero. So get ready for it.
Well, thanks, but no thanks, Peter. What about this week's environmental history lesson?
Well, with all the human suffering and tragedy in World War II, it's not really a surprise that this one got lost in history, and it actually happened on the one-year anniversary of Hiroshima on August 6, 1946. General Douglas MacArthur, who was overseeing the occupation of Japan, authorized the creation of two factory ship fleets for large-scale commercial whaling. The intention was to help rebuild the Japanese economy, which was, of course, in shambles after the war.
Which led to its own war on the biggest animals on the planet.
Yep, for the next several decades, Japan became the undisputed whaling king. But actually, there was huge slaughter in the decade before World War II, in the 1930s. But that post-war period and Douglas MacArthur's order, intended to provide jobs in Japanese seaports, enabled one of the biggest wildlife disasters in the 20th century.
Peter Dykstra is publisher of Environmental Health News, EHN.org, and thedailyclimate.org. Thanks so much, Peter. Talk to you next time.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.